How's it going, Blurs fans? It's Buck here, coming at you with another episode of Podcast 63. On this week's episode, Lou and I are going to be talking about all the recruitment information you need to know, and probably more than you needed to know, about the Missouri Valley. We're going to be talking about whose incoming class we think is the most impressive, whether it be freshmen or incoming transfers. In addition to that, we're going to be talking about our new recruit, our new member of the squad, Keith Clemens, coming from Vincennes Junior College. So you're not going to want to miss this episode. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Podcast 63.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots off the rim. Brown gets it, scores. It's over. It's over. We won the ball game. Viola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
How's it going, Blurs fans? Buck here. I need to be a little bit honest with you guys up front. We recorded this podcast before any of this news broke about Porter potentially looking at being interviewed by St. John's. So if we need to, if something breaking news-wise happens between when you're listening to this and something with Porter happens, there will be another podcast. And we'll talk all about that if there is some news to be broken. If not, we'll probably get into it a little bit next week. But just to let you guys know that we did record this audio before any of the news with Porter broke. Thanks for understanding. Welcome into another episode of Podcast 63, where we are now sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts, or at least half of Podcast 63 is, because every time I'm recording, I'm drinking Dunkin' Donuts coffee. No, on the real though, this episode is going to be a lot of recruiting news. We got a great question this past week from one of our listeners and Twitter followers who was wondering who has the best recruitment class coming in for next year. And on the surface, it sounds like a pretty easy question, but the more we looked into it, the more it's pretty complicated, because there is two different categories that we broke it down into. First of all, freshmen, so guys that are coming in from high school, graduates from high school. And then we also divided new guys coming in who aren't freshmen, so someone who sat out a year, a JUCO transfer, or graduate transfers. And it does seem like there's a divide between those two categories, and we'll get into it a little bit here. But we just want to break that down for you and help you guys understand that we're going to break that question down into two different categories. So the first one that we're going to talk about here is the freshmen coming into to Missouri Valley Conference teams for next year. And looking at it, there are really three teams in the Valley that have done a good job recruiting high-level talent freshmen coming in next year. The three teams are us, Loyola, Missouri State, and then the one surprise for me was Indiana State. They have a couple guys in the rankings that are pretty impressive. So we all know Loyola's top three recruits. We'll talk about them, but we'll get to them last because we want to save the best for last. But let's start with Missouri State. They have, as of right now, they have four freshmen coming in. They have the highest recruit coming in to the Valley next season, the highest freshman recruit, and that is Tyam Freeman. He was, I think, around 230 as far as, like, top recruits for next season, freshman recruits coming into next season. They also have two other guys that are highly rated in Dewan Harris and Isaiah Mosley. Both those guys are three stars, and they look to have a pretty strong freshman recruiting class. As we'll mention a little bit later, I don't know how much they're actually going to play because they have a lot of transfers coming in, high-level transfers. That's yet to be seen, but this freshman recruiting class from Missouri State is pretty impressive. Would you agree with that statement, Lou? What do you think?
Yeah, no.
Also, welcome to the podcast. I've been talking for so long now, so, like, welcome in, you know.
Thank you. No. This is a podcast of two fans and two diehards.
Where are they? I don't know. Who are they?
We'll find them out. We'll find out.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
But right now we're talking about recruiting. Again, it's just a generic thing to talk about, like, with rankings and everything. I personally, Lou here has a little bias toward, like, believing any sites. as we all know, like we say, Cam and Crow, we should have been rated higher. But again, it's about like what these kids show in high school and these kids can develop in college. J.J. Watt, for all those who don't know, he was rated 2-star on the recruiting websites when he was recruited. So again, the rankings don't really are not something you should just believe fully on. But the thing is, some of these sites, they might not be able to get out to all these kids and see all the games. But it's still something to not put to the wayside, not believe. Because some of these kids, I think, can step up and play really great. So getting into it, we're just, like we were talking about the teams. It's really important that these teams especially fill in roles that are going to be vacant. Like for us right now, we're two point guards, really, two ball handlers. Mm. So as we see in the Valley, other teams are doing that right now. Mm. And the question was, who's really coming in from the Valley with a strong recruiting class? And we divided that two ways.
Mm-hmm.
We divided that into the overall recruiting of JUCO, grad transfers, and then just the freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name? What's the highest recruiting name?
So we were talking about Missouri State, and Tyon Freeman is
the
top.
Tyon Freeman, yeah. So Freeman is the highest rated recruit right now on all the sites that we can see. But Dana Ford, is doing really great. We'll talk about that later in the recruiting. But right now, I think it's going to be key to watch Missouri State getting these high recruits because Dana Ford's pushing that program in. And as we see now, Southern with Brian Mullins, they're going to be looking for recruits. They just had a kid decommit, actually. So in the Valley, you're going to start noticing, especially with new young coaches, their recruits, that's what they're going for. And to build a program like we have, we built a program around guys who are coming in and out transferring. But we have now Cameron Crutwig, we have Lucas Williams and from the freshman class. So watching Freeman now, I think you'll see a name kind of similar maybe to another Freeman who left the Valley, who I thought would dominate with Valpo, but left Javon Freeman. But I think it's Freeman from Missouri State's ranked really high, so we're looking to see something special out of him.
I think you made a really good point as far as like filling roles that are needed too, because I had mentioned earlier that Indiana State's recruitment class is pretty impressive, but just from what the quick little search I was doing, they didn't fill a need, which they don't have a center currently on the roster, which, I mean, you know, basketball's changing, it's getting smaller, but they know that they're going to have to go up against some really impressive big men this year, including, you know, Cameron Crutwig, also Tuli Da Silva from Missouri State. And so they have some guards coming in at Indiana State, and they are 3-star guards, which is impressive. But like you said, they need to, you know, all the schools need to make sure to fill the roles that they have missing. And it doesn't really seem like Indiana State is doing that. It'll be interesting to see how Indiana State does. I think they might be one of the biggest wild cards this year. This past season, they had a really good non-conference schedule, and then they fell down, and they finished 8th in the Valley or something like that. And they played the first day of Arch Madness, so they did not have an impressive season. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how they do this year. I think they have a good schedule coming up, because I think they have like a couple home and homes with some big name teams. But some of the teams that don't have very impressive recruitment classes so far for freshmen, Illinois State,
nobody.
Yeah,
nobody.
One guy. Evansville, nobody. One guy again. So no one really impressive there. Drake, again, all their guys. They do have three freshmen coming in, but Drake, for all of them, was their best offer. Like, they didn't have any other bigger mid-major or high-major teams recruiting them. Valpo, again, they do have 4 guys coming in, but I think it's a question of quantity over quality. You can talk about Valpo a little bit.
Yeah, no, with Valpo, I'd say if people didn't realize, Valpo got about 3 international recruits in one day, at least one weekend. They finally, I'd say, connected with these guys and got the official word. Valpo, I think we'll get into the full recruitment of Valpo because I actually do think they're pretty strong with recruitment in general, in a total sense, but their incoming freshmen are just to fill depth, and that's something that's going to be big. And in the Valley, you need depth, so that's something that's key. They got different sizes in guys. They have a 5'11 point guard from Europe. They have a 6'10 guy, and they have, a 6'8 power forward. So with Valpo, right now, it's just depth they need. Quality, not sure if it's there, not sure if it isn't there. So we're really not sure. But right now, with the incoming freshmen, it's quantity for them.
Yeah, and I think the only other team I haven't two teams. Northern Iowa, they have a couple, three guys coming in. It's kind of interesting. It looks like their small forward might be kind of impressive. I think he had some really competitive mid-major offers. The other two guys, not so much. And then Bradley, the only other team we haven't talked about besides Loyola. Again, same thing, I think, with Valpo. They have four guys coming in, but from what I can tell, more of a quantity over quality, depth things, no real impact talent. Again, all of this can change. Like, we're just going off of, like, what we can read and see and different rankings and videos. Like, but, you know, all this can change. When a guy comes to college, you know, sometimes they become really impressive. They, you know, work really hard at their craft. And one of those guys who, for me, was someone that did that, you know, Cooper Kafis. Like, I knew about him before, and I knew he was athletic, and but I didn't really know if he would have a good year for us, and he proved to be the most impressive player from this past recruitment class, at least for this past year, when in my head, going into this year, I thought he might have been the third of the three that were coming in. So anything can change, anything can shift. Like Lou said earlier, too, recruitment ratings are, I don't know, they're not consistent at best. They're a way to maybe determine how two or three scouts might feel about a player, but, you know, you could always catch a player on a good day or a bad day. But I think we should talk about Loyola's recruits. We'll deep dive into these guys eventually because they're all really impressive on their own, but just starting off at the top, the second best recruit, freshman recruit coming into the Valley next year is Tom Welch. Tom Welch and Marquise Kennedy are very closely ranked on every site. They're pretty much neck and neck. For the most part, we should probably consider them equal they're both impressive. But Tom Welch is rated higher than Marquise Kennedy. So Tom Welch is a 6'8 forward coming from Naperville, I believe, Naperville, Illinois. Naperville North. He was the best player on his team. He played with Illinois Wolves, which is we've talked about before.
If you don't know Illinois Wolves by now, you got to listen to more.
You got
to
listen more. But Tom Welch, very very athletic, power forward, can shoot the three ball, gets up, gets dunks, is very disruptive on the defensive end. I don't know his wingspan off the top of my head. But I would guess it's approaching 7 feet, you know, probably in like 6'10" territory. Blocks a lot of shots, gets a lot of steals. I think the biggest question mark for him is going to be coming from a school where the talent around him was mediocre at best. I think there might have been one other guy on his team that could potentially even play college basketball, where he had to do literally everything. To coming to a team now where he's going to be asked to do a few things very well.
A role player.
If that is something that helps his game or hurts his game, because it could go either way. You know, maybe that he only has to do a few things very well being a role player might help him because then he can focus on those things rather than handling the ball, which is something that he's probably not as comfortable doing, to being a guy who, you know, might take some threes, might cut through the paint and get some dunks and play good defense. So Tom Welch, first guy. Lou, what are your thoughts on Tom Welch?
Tom Welch, so yeah, just when comparing quickly to Marquise Kennedy, they both were, they're always compared near each other. I think because even the best example would be like Illinois, Mr. Basketball and stuff. They were both there, talked about in the papers, just names that were there. Mm-hmm. Tom Welch, great guy to have in coming out. If people don't notice, we're actually starting to recruit and get the guys who have big size. And big size is something we'd like to have. Cameron Krupp is a big guy. We got Frank, Christian, Ukok. So, like, the size is going to be a thing. And I do think the fact that he's rated high for this class is a great thing. And again, I haven't seen much tape on him, but I would like to see the flexibility of where he can be on offense. I would say defensively in high school, the highlights are just going to show him dominating because in size. Mm-hmm. But again, that's up to talent. So maybe we'll see a few adjustments with getting to the he might not have the quicker reaction like he did in high school to defend the rim. But I think offensively, that's where I would like to see how he really does. But I think I'm really excited.
because I do think he could learn, hopefully, from Krutwig and understand where he's going. And then Frank can teach him how to block better, because I do think that's where Frank comes in. So, yeah.
One of the cool things about him, too, just not as a basketball player, just as a human being, he, in his high school, his senior year of high school, he organized, ran, and played in an event that raised money for breast cancer awareness. I think it was for the Komen Foundation. But just an upstanding human being, super well-rounded, speaks very well. I've heard interviews with him. So I'm just excited to get him here on so many different levels. I think he's going to be an incredible player, person, and leader at Loyola. So excited to have him here. Someone else who played for Illinois Wolves, common theme here, Marquise Kennedy, also rated super high. We've talked about him here before a little bit. Very shifty ball handling guard. Likes to take it to the hoop. One thing I've noticed, he shoots righty, but he loves to go left, which is interesting. I've watched more than a few of his games, and he does like to finish with his left, which is going to be something that might throw some teams off if they haven't followed him. Can shoot the three ball, loves the clutch. He has the clutch gene. I've seen him sink three balls in less than 3 minutes and to tie a game and send it to overtime. I've seen him sink two free throws with less than 5 seconds on the clock to tie the game up. Like, this kid is going to be clutch. He is going to be one of the most athletic players we have on our team. He has lots of raw talent, and it's going to be interesting to see if he can. It's not a question of if he's going to be a good player at Loyola. It's a question of when. It could happen his freshman year, and if it doesn't, I know it's going to happen for him if he stays here for 4 years. But what are your thoughts on Marquise Kennedy?
Love him. I think in the highlights I've watched, he pushes the ball, pushes the tempo. A great thing is I do see when he gets to the rim, you can see where he shifts to the strong side of what he feels comfortable maybe with. But I really like what he's got to offer. I think he has just a high ceiling. I think there's a lot more where that can be done and a lot more to even fix up and improve on, just because, again, that level from high school to college ball is different. But from what I've seen, I like, and I do think that this is a position right now where having a young guy so talented, hopefully, coming in can last for a very long time, because we're losing the general in Clayton Custer, or, again, the high-tempo guy in Marcus Towns, because they push the tempo. And now having Kennedy come in, I think that can be something we'll see in the future.
Yeah, last note on Kennedy. One of the more interesting things I heard about him was a scout saying he's one of the best defensive guards at blocking shots. So this kid isn't just an offensive threat. He's also a defensive threat. He times the ball well. He's very active on defense as well. Just from interviews, too, very well-spoken, very calm and collected. So I'm excited to get him here, too. And not to be forgotten, the last guy, Illinois Wolves. Have I said that? Have we said Illinois Wolves on this podcast before?
Yeah.
Illinois Wolves guard Paxson Wojcik is the only recruit that is out of state. He played in Indiana at La Lumiere, which we talked a little bit about him last podcast too. He was the guy who was on the number one nationally ranked high school team. Just from watching him play, definitely going to be he's even a role player on his high school team. He's definitely going to be a role player when he comes to Loyola. He is a guy that I think is going to fit in very well. And because he's already been a role player on the high school level, I think he's going to fit in very well. He's going to fit in very well being a role player at Loyola.
Yeah.
I've seen him dive on the ball or dive on the floor for loose balls. He's going to be really gritty. And I think he's going to surprise some people with, how well he can shoot the ball too.
Definitely just speaking from just watching him kind of understand what type of player he is and the role play. And again, he played at the top program in the nation, high school and prep program pretty much. and just to really see that. And he was always there. Always had the minutes. That was the thing we talked about, I think, off the podcast, was that amount of minutes he played. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be something where when this guy comes in, he's coming into play. And that's going to be a strong thing, especially coming in from a freshman, is that we need a guy. And maybe if, like we saw good old Ben Richardson take Lucas Williamson under his wing, maybe we'll see Lucas Williamson or see Cooper, get like someone find that movement to say, hey, let's step up leadership and like helping him in. Because I think he's a guy that over time can just develop into something special. And that's just great to see. And again, is maybe that's just the Illinois Wolves way, and maybe that's just how things go.
Yeah, he's going to be an impressive kid to have here. And just hopefully we can maintain that connection with La Lumiere, because now we have gotten players to commit from La Lumiere the past 2 years, and they have nothing but talent in that at that institution for years to come. The last guy we want to give a little time to as well is our preferred walk-on. So for anyone who doesn't know, there's a certain allotment of scholarships you can have. Is it 12, I believe?
13
scholarships. And then additionally, you can have a few walk-ons. I think you can have as many as you can have as many as you want, but it's usually like 3 or 4 walk-ons that you have. And these guys play, do the same amount of work as the guys who have scholarships. It's just that they don't have scholarships. So we did want to talk about our preferred walk-on for next year, Pavle Pantovich. I hope I didn't butcher that name. But going along with the theme, he is another Illinois Wolves player. I know, surprising,
that a 4
right?
for 4 this
it's
year?
It's a perfect 4 for 4. But, yeah, this kid is a 6'6 power forward. Is a kid who I think, from what I've seen on his high school team, he goes to DePaul Prep. He played a lot of minutes. He started. I don't know how much he played on the Illinois Wolves AAU team. I think he was more of a bench player, but still a guy who's played AAU his whole life. Played with these three other guys in Wojcik, Kennedy, and Welch, and just to have these four guys like here. There's a bond that when you play together for a certain amount of time, these guys become your friends and your brothers. So, it is exciting to have four guys from the same AAU team, playing at Loyola. I hope all four guys see it through and are able to play for 4 years. But unless you had any last thoughts, we can move into the next section of our recruitment question. Which are the newcomers. So we talked about the freshmen. Those are all, that whole section was about the freshmen. From what I can see, the best three recruitment classes for next year are Loyola and Missouri State are comfortably at the top.
For freshmen. Freshmen, yeah. And we'll just say, right now, I'd say no bias, actually. Just I do think that we have the edge. Again, is when you go to the Final Four, when you have your name in the thing, you get those better freshman recruits. Mm-hmm. So I do think we just edge out Missouri State also because of the number of guys and also just the rankings and how they've done as a player. So, yeah, I do think overall for freshman recruits, we head out first.
Yeah, and then I think Indiana State and potentially you and I are in that next kind of group. And then after that, it's really anyone, but I think comfortably at the bottom – you have to have Evansville and Illinois State, who only have one guy coming in. And again, things can change. New players can come in. We'll update you if that does happen. But I think we're going to close the book on the freshmen. The next group we have are the newcomers. So this can be someone who sat out a year, who transferred in, someone who is a JUCO player who transferred in, or someone who's a grad transfer that transferred in. I think that are the three categories. But Lou, I'm going to let you take the reins on this one. I know that you follow a lot of the transfer news. So yeah, go ahead, take it away.
Yeah, so pretty much I'm just going to say this for the listeners. So for overall recruiting, based off this past year for new guys coming in, for new guys just coming in, because some of these guys have been recruited and had to sit out a year for transferring. So this is where it might get confusing. This is pretty much we're including guys who have now just are going to start playing in the next season. That's where we're going to rank what teams are in right now. Their roster looks the best set for starting November of this coming year. So we got to talk about Missouri State. Missouri State, Dana Ford just went out there and he got guys.
It's crazy.
And it is actually crazy. And actually, as we were starting to start the podcast, I got a notification. Missouri State landed another transfer from Colorado State, I believe. So actually right now, according to us, from what we can see online and stuff, they are one scholarship player over the limit of 13. So there might be something going on there. We don't know. But right now, Dana Ford is getting the guys. And quite honestly, I also believe, I think I saw something where they're going to go play Xavier next year. I think Dana Ford is pushing to get an at-large, but most certainly he is pushing to go to play on Sunday in St. Louis at the MVC tournament. And he's got a transfer from Nevada. He's got a transfer from West Virginia. He's got guys who are coming into play. He's got now this Colorado State guy. And maybe so that's what he's getting. And again, after his first year to get this recruiting class, it's not at all a bad class to have of guys who've transferred and already played at this high level, because that's what he's going to want. He's going to want guys to just go the motor and just run with it. So I think right now, if we're going to talk about it, Missouri State, number one in the Valley right now for overall recruits.
I'm not going to lie, I'm a little scared. This is impressive. They have guys coming back too. Tulio Da Silva, who had a really impressive year, along with a few other guys. Like, this is scary. Like, I they are very much geared up for next season. They have, I think right now, they have six or maybe even seven guys that they have scholarships given to for the senior class. And as our listeners know, we have one. So, I mean, that doesn't tell the whole story, but it definitely shows that Missouri State is going all in for this next season.
Yeah, no, I do think we can just end Missouri State's on this with saying, you will probably see Missouri State number one in a lot of the preseason polls.
And it rightfully so.
Yeah, no, there's nothing really wrong.
Yeah.
So then moving on, we can go straight into this. Actually kind of interesting. Again, this is for guys who are going to start in the fall, because I'm going to throw it out there. But right now I have a tie for second.
Mm-hmm.
Just a tie for second in Evansville and Valpo. Now, again, is Evansville and Valpo really don't have freshmen coming in. Valpo has the depth, and I believe Evansville might have one or two, not just really anything, not even depth really looking for. But we're going to reach out. So Valpo University, VU, they have Aaron Gordon, I believe, Eric Gordon's brother, coming in from Seton Hall transfer. So that's a huge thing. He's a Seton Hall transfer. That's a big program, actually. They're in the tournament this year. They have consistency making the tournament. Then they have another recruit coming in. Let me just pull up his name.
It's Nick Robinson.
Nick Robinson from St. Joe's University in Philadelphia, which we played this year. He wasn't on the team because he transferred. So these are guys who are coming in from big programs, and then they have the rest of the starters. So I will have to say is, like, they're recruiting and getting guys from big programs to come was huge. Again, it is Javon Freeman, like, filling a void. He left a big hole, I think. Maybe he saw the fact that he'll have older guys coming in and play. Guys who played at bigger schools, maybe he felt the best time to go. But it's going to be an interesting thing. But I think Valpo kind of – they're saving themselves with the fact that they got these guys, because they lost a lot of guys, and it's confusing why they lost guys. Nothing was really said. But the fact that they have these guys in Gordon and in Robinson – two guys I think are just point and shooting guard, so they'll be able to push the ball and get it going. And I think that's what's going to help them a lot. Moving on to Evansville then. Evansville actually has an interesting transfer who transferred last year and sat out the year. And a kid named Sam Cunliffe. So Sam Cunliffe, transfer from Kansas. And as you know, maybe the last transfer from Kansas was someone close to us here at Loyola University Chicago. But Sam Cunliffe, he first started at Arizona State and then transferred, so set out the year, then played a little bit at Kansas but really didn't, so then he transferred again. So unsure if he has 3 or 2 years left. He did have to sit out this past year, but he will be he was a four-star recruit, so again, that's something big for the Valley to see a four-star recruit. I think that's one of the highest things we would have seen ever from a freshman class. And then we got to talk about it. When I think Evansville, I'll be quite honest with you, if you guys can't remember, please go back and watch some of it. We struggled the first game against Evansville, very bad.
I would suggest not watching it, actually, because you might not, you might just tear your eyes
out. And then the second game a little bit, but I do think the fact that they had the size in their big man, their big, I believe he was the big bald guy, 6'9", European guy.
Fredericks.
They now, Evansville, have a 6'9 transfer again playing from Pittsburgh. So unsure of if he's going to be able to be eligible for the next year. We're waiting to see on that. Again, as Pittsburgh's coming from, I just happen to know they had a new coach, a new team. So we're seeing how things go. But the fact that they got a guy to play, hopefully, is huge. And then there's a guy we actually have stumbled upon a little intrigue with Evansville in DeAndre Williams. Now, please, I'm going to say this name again. DeAndre Williams. If anyone can know his backstory, we would appreciate it. Mm. We have researched and tried to understand. But DeAndre Williams is about a 6'7", 6'8", power forward. And he's played. It looks like he was ranked a 3-star recruit. So, again, is just seeing Evansville having these guys who have the stars next to their name. Again, that doesn't mean they're going to translate. But I do think down there, Evansville, after their head coach 1 year, he's also trying to get those recruits to come in to fill up. Valpo getting guys who have maybe brothers in the NBA, but also guys from big schools. Evansville, there you go. And then with Missouri State, number one. We're just going to talk about it, but Bradley happens to have a transfer from LSU. Not sure if he's going to be able to play right away. LSU actually has had an issue with their head coach of understanding who's coaching that. So he also could say that's been an issue. But Bradley went out there and got a transfer from LSU. So right now, though, I think Missouri State, quite honestly, they're just dominating. From the 1-2 difference is huge. But right now, I'd say Missouri State overall recruiting of guys just coming into play, I think Missouri State did a great job.
Yeah, I wanted to give a little bit, because that story with DeAndre Williams is super interesting. I just want to talk about it a little bit. So he started in high school. He was, normal, went to high school. As a junior, he was a top 100 recruit. And then he cited, personal reasons at his high school that he needed to be homeschooled. So he was homeschooled, but then he played for what seemed to be, He played for some institution that almost just seemed like a travel league team, or like an AAU team, but that counted as high school eligibility. And after that, he was invited to the NBA top 100 prospect. They have a camp, so he went to that. So very highly touted player. He had many high major offers. I think he did have an offer from A&M at Texas A&M. And he went, and it didn't work out. And so then 2 years ago, he played for, a postgraduate team, which, to be honest, I didn't even really know existed. It almost sounds like an amateur basketball league. It's not professional, because if he played professional ball, he wouldn't be able to be eligible in college basketball. But he played, 14 games or 16 games for this postgraduate team. And then he committed to Evansville, and he tried to be eligible for last season, but they ruled him ineligible, which makes it sound like they considered his postgraduate level basketball a year of his college eligibility. That's not for sure. That's not 100%, but that just seems like if they made him sit out a year, that would count as a year of eligibility. He's still listed as a freshman on Evansville's website. So we have no idea how much it's either 3 years or 4 years left of eligibility, but it's a very interesting case.
It's confusing, fans.
We spent a good amount of time researching, but he is by far the biggest question mark of any player in the Missouri Valley Conference. He could be someone that, if he is a top 100 level recruit, it's something the Valley really hasn't seen before. He could come in and dominate, honestly. Or someone who hasn't really played competitive basketball now for 2 years, maybe even 3 years, if you consider his senior year AAU team thing, he could very likely be a bench warmer too. So I just thought it was an interesting story. I wanted to tell it. Again, if anyone knows any information about DeAndre Williams, please let us know, because we're interested. So I think your ranking system order is pretty good. Missouri State, definitely far and away number one. Valpo and Evansville, pretty close, 2 and 3. I would put us, Loyola, at number four. I think having Tate Hall coming up playing is going to be huge, as well as our new guy, which I can't believe it took this long for us to mention his name, but our new guy, Keith Clemens, who we will get into once we close the book on this half of the recruitment talk. And then after that, Bradley has someone that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, actually, if we're going to talk just overall recruitment, I do think we kind of beat out.
Oh, I was just doing newcomers. Sorry.
Okay.
I might
yeah,
say
no,
overall.
Yeah. Let's just then end it now. We'll move into our recruitment because, again, this is a podcast about Loyola Ramblers, not MVC, but we got to talk about the MVC. Overall recruitment, I think Missouri State beats us, number one. I'd say we're kind of – there's just – the Valley is, again, mixed. People need to know. The Valley is just a mix of who's in. So with Valpo's transfers coming in, with Evansville's transfer, and then with our transfer with Tate Hall, and then with the freshman, I think we're all just tied in that pack.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, again, Missouri State is ahead of the pack, and
yeah.
ahead of us is ahead of everyone in the Valley. So, again, it's just finding that group that we can work with. I do think we're there. But moving on to now our new recruit yesterday – it was announced that I do think Buck here likes to have a name for him already.
Oh, yeah, Keith Clementine. So anytime he's doing anything well, his name is Keith Clemens, but anytime he's, you know, going off or shooting threes or, you know, when he does this all for us, I'm going to tweet. It's going to be Clementine.
It's going to be Clementine.
Clementine. You know, that
I hope he likes Clementine.
I hope he does too, and I hope he doesn't think it's offensive, because low key, like, Clementines are very underrated fruit. But this is not a fruit podcast. This is a Loyola Ramblers podcast. But Keith Clemens, he is coming from a JUCO problem in Vincennes. Vincennes did win the JUCO national championship this past year.
Huge. Culture of champions.
Yes. And so he has played, he has 2 years of eligibility remaining. He is a point guard. I think they list him at 6'1".
Yeah.
From what we've seen and what we've found out, he averaged just about 15 points as well as 5 assists this past year for Vincennes. I watched a little. There's not that much like video on him. There's some stuff from high school, but that's 2 years ago. From what I could see, I watched a little bit of game tape from highlight videos in the JUCO tournament, as well as just one random game that was on YouTube. He seems like a guy who is going to spot up from three. So someone who is going to be reminiscent of Custer's shooting ability, more so like junior year Custer than senior year Custer. So I saw him spot up from three. He shot 40% from three this past year. In addition to that, he's someone that likes to get to the free throw line. He shot 85% from the free throw line, which would be far and away our best free throw shooter. In the national championship, he got to the free throw line 10 times. So he's a guy who I think will have similar shooting ability as Custer, but also someone who likes to take it to the hoop. I'm not going to say he's like Marcus Towns level, because I don't think he is. And that's yet
if
to
anyone,
be seen.
If anyone, though, happens to find tape on him,
yeah,
please hit us up on our email or even in the tweets, just because it's kind of hard to say with recruits when we don't have film. And again, we're not guys who's going out there recruiting these guys. So it would just be great, because it just tells us what we can expect, especially for a guy who's coming in and playing right away.
Yeah, but he is going to be a guy that I'm excited about. I think they addressed a need, which was another ball handler, an experienced ball handler. I think that he's going to come and he's going to get significant minutes. I would assume he's going to start, but that is yet to be seen. But Keith Clemens, he's going to wear number 5, which if our listeners don't know, the last person to wear number 5 was Marcus Hounds. So he's going to be a guy that comes in, he plays right away, he's going to push Marquise Kennedy to be a better player. They're very similar, like they're both 6'1". And I think he's an athletic guard that likes to take it to the hoop. He can score in different ways. Just from what I've seen, I haven't seen his mid-range game much, but likes to take it to the hoop, likes to spot up from three. has a nice quick release. He for his JUCO team, he was the main ball handler. He didn't do 100% of the ball handling, but, you know, somewhere close to it. One of the things I really liked, I saw that the Phoenix, Nick Schultz had a quick little conversation with him on the Phoenix's website, and he talked a lot about defense too, which I thought was really interesting. He said that he was going to get here and get after it on defense. And that just sounds like the type of guy that Porter Moser wants to recruit. But Keith Cummins should be a good player here for Loyola. I know you were a little skeptical, I think. I know you wanted a grad transfer, and initially you weren't too happy about it. Would you want to talk about that a little bit?
I think, yeah, just something toward the end, because we do have one more scholarship. I'm never too upset when a guy wants to come play for us, but the thing is, I just know we've been looking at guys who... Well, there was one guy, actually, so one guy who's ranked behind him in the JUCO rankings, and again, this is one guy ranked a lot higher, who we've been talking to, who visited. So just the thing of also understanding what we're looking for. Again, as we don't get to interview these guys, we don't get to see what they're like on maybe a pickup game if they play with the guys. So maybe one guy gels better with the team. So right away, again, is I'm more in favor of graduate transfer just because looking forward, we want this program to continue. And I kind of just don't want to get caught up like in Nevada. Just Nevada right now is in a sticky situation where they had six guys graduate, coach left. So to maybe hopefully have enough scholarships where each year we're not going to get the foot of six guys graduating at once, which we're getting close to with the Krutwig class of that junior class coming in. You have the Krutwig, the Lucas Williamson, now the Tate Hall, you have the JUCO, now Clemens. So, and here.
Yeah, Uguak is Uguak, the same class.
So that's what I'm saying. So that's a lot of guys. So just it's kind of, again, it could help us, though. Having a lot of seniority gets you to the tournament sometimes. That's why you see some of these programs like Kentucky's and the young, like with all these freshmen, top high recruits, but not having that those guys who've played years together, they don't go far. And I think that's how we won last year. We've had guys, seniors, with the Ben Richardson and the Dante Ingram, who guys who played, and Andre Jackson even after that 1 year, but guys who played with each other for longer than a season who know how to play. So I do think it can help. It definitely can help. And do I see us making another push? Yes. I think this team, where we're at right now with this roster and in, even with the guys coming in, there's a little of a step back. And again, I think every year has a little of a step back just because it's a new team. There's a new thing going on. They're new players, and it's just a new formatting in gel of what the team looks like. So it's going to be interesting. But again, we have one more scholarship out there. We don't know what we're doing. We also have an assistant coaching spot to fill that we know. We don't know if it's been filled yet, but it hasn't been anything posted. But we're waiting to see. That's what we got. Again, is please. There was a banquet last week. I think we're just going to talk about this, unless you have anything.
Yeah, no. I did have something. What was I going to say? I don't know. We can talk about the banquet. I'm sure I'll remember by the end
of it. Yeah. So the banquet was last week. So if people have any info or just stuff they want to talk about that they noticed or anything that was said, please, again, the email is in the bio of our Twitter page, or just tweet at us like messages have been before. That's what we started off again this week and last week with messages from people. So please just let us know if you want us to talk about anything or if anything you're curious about. I think that's...
I do, yeah. So the one thing that I wanted to mention is that this commit and Keith Cummins, it'll be really interesting to see what the next... scholarship, who the next scholarship goes to, because I really think that's going to be indicative of where this team is going. So, like, if they get a grad transfer that's a senior that only has 1 year of eligibility, it's evident that, you know, this year is very important for the team. I mean, every year is very important for the team. But if, for instance, they get another JUCO guy that is going to be in our junior class, then it's going to be very evident that next year is the year that they're going to go for it all. Maybe they get another freshman recruit coming in, you know, the table is open for anything. They could get a guy that is a high major transfer that needs to sit out a year. So I think the next scholarship is going to be very evident of where this team's direction is for the next 2 years, whether it's go for it all next year or go for it all the following year. But I'm super excited to have Keith Clemens coming in. I'm excited that this got done pretty early so he can come in here, get acquainted with the guys, spend the summer probably taking classes and working with everyone. I'm excited to see the next scholarship and the next assistant coach. Hopefully we have some more news by this time next week to talk about, because it's fun to get some good news like this.
Exactly, yeah.
But I think it's going to do it here from us two, from Buck and Lou at Podcast 63. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you guys are enjoying these episodes. I know they're always a little, we just kind of ramble about like shorter topics because there's less stuff in general to talk about. But we're really enjoying all your questions. We really enjoy the engagement on Twitter. And we are hoping that, you know, next week there's an interesting podcast just like this. So that's going to do it here from Podcast 63. Thank you all for listening. Go Blairs.